right now, the O-Deck with Gordo, brought to us by Man's Best Friend, A Number One Air, MetterAuto.com, and TexasLending.com.
Thank you so much, Miller Man. You guys have a pretty good little weekend. Pretty good little
weekend.
Pretty good little weekend. Well, I don't know how much of the Grammys that you guys saw last night.
I saw 90%.
Good chunk.
90%? Dang.
I watched a lot of it.
That's pretty dang good, Giorgio. So, everyone is talking about a few things. Number one, and a lot of them sent around Adele, by the way. There's several things about Adele that happened at the Grammys. But before we get to Adele, I want to comment on James Corden, the foreigner who's not even an American, that's hosting our American Grammys.
Yeah, he loves music and he hosts an American show.
He does. And, you know, I don't know that I've ever seen his show. Mm-hmm. I've seen tons of his carpool karaoke's online. Mm-hmm. But I haven't seen how well he hosts a talk show.
It's not too bad for the late slot.
Yeah, it's different.
That's what I hear. Good. And he's been a real success. You know, Jimmy Fallon's been a success and James Corden's been a success. And now we're seeing that Stephen Colbert is quite the success.
This is short-lived.
Anyway, so I was, I am curious, and I have not watched nearly as much of the Grammys as you did last night, Giorgio. I'm still catching up on it. James Corden, give him a grade.
B plus, A minus. I thought his opening was hilarious. And, this probably comes down to, do you like the guy or not? I happen to like him. I think he's funny. I think he's engaging.
So you always give him the benefit of the doubt.
I'm probably going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I guess if you're a Corden hater, you're going to think that opening was dumb and stupid and need to go away. But I thought it was funny. It was kind of slapstickish. You know, he
takes a fall.
He tries to come up, from beneath the stage. You know, they have all those risers and his gets stuck. And he kind of looks around, then he climbs out of it, and then walks down a few more steps, then falls in a hole, and then climbs out of that, and then rolls down the stairs. I mean,
sounds like some good slapstick comedy.
Very
there.
Funny slapstick.
He lost a shoe and had to finish the dance
without
a shoe.
Then he had to do the dance number. He's about a step behind, and then he finally stops it.
Ooh, we just heard that.
We just got mad by a youngster.
You know, I gave him a B, and there was this online survey this morning on, maybe it was MSN.com, said, what do you grade James Corden for hosting the Grammys, A through F? And so I clicked on B, and then it showed the results, and a few people gave him an A, a few B, a few, most people gave him an F.
Oh, my.
Really?
Yeah. Well, and that surprised me, because I thought he was pretty good. I didn't like the fake foreign accent. I thought I
no,
could
that's
have,
real.
That's real.
He really does have a foreign accent.
Could have done without that. But for the most part, I thought he was pretty good.
The bit where he was saying, hey, it's my parents' 49th wedding anniversary tonight. And then
that
he
was funny.
Heidi Klum on his dad's lap. And his mom's with one of the Jonas Brothers.
Nick Jonas.
And yeah, it was funny. It was different.
So why are people giving him an F then?
I don't know.
Well, carpool karaoke went terribly wrong.
You know what?
Uh-oh. I know you don't like that
I
bit anyway.
I think that's the most overrated bit in the history of entertainment.
Wow!
I don't understand.
Entertainment.
I don't understand why people go crazy over it.
I think it's because it's cool seeing the celebrities.
They
just
let
in
their
a
hair
car,
down a little bit, yeah, and sing like we do.
Anyone else, yeah. And there's no effects on their voice or anything. They just got to sing straight up.
Plus, it's funny
well,
that
that's
he,
hard for a singer.
Well, and it's funny, too, that someone's right next
harder
to
harder than you think.
Right
he's
next
that
to them,
right.
Singing
he's just
every
like us.
Every word of their song, you know, and really hitting some of the parts and hitting harmonies.
He'll hit harmonies and stuff, and that's what I love about him. Is he seems like he's a genuinely, you know, just a passionate guy about music, and I like that he's such a fanboy about music.
A lot of different music. I mean, he can rap. He can. He likes Adele. He likes, of course, he likes Adele. But and even that one, she looked over him like.
Yeah,
you
when he
really
started
sing.
when he started going into those harmonies.
Yeah.
Look at Junior.
Oh, he's
let me now.
I'm interested in that carpool karaoke.
Let me now defeat your entire point in one word.
Okay.
Meh.
Gosh. You got us there.
Wow.
Yeah, that's not everyone's cup of tea, I guess.
He worked his whole life learning songs.
It fell apart last night because it got too many people to be a part of the Neil Diamond Sweet Caroline thing. And they didn't have everyone mic'd. Some people didn't know the words, and it just kind of fell apart. But it was, you know, everyone wanted to see that at some point. And it was funny that he had a prop of a car, you know, and it had the steering wheel on the wrong side, you know, just like it would be in Britain.
He even griped about it, too.
Yeah. And but I think that was fake griping. Sure. I think he loves that and knows that that's his calling card.
So Adele, yeah, well. Adele wins, what?
I guess not.
Album of the year, song of the year, and artist of the year.
Yeah.
Which I believe is the only time that someone has swept all three.
Really?
I believe so.
Wow.
And of course she beats Beyonce, but she gave Beyonce props and love. And I'm sure we'll hear that at 8:15 when we do our extended Grammy segment.
Beyonce was bitter with a capital B.
Yes.
I've got it here if you want to hear it.
Oh, you want it? Okay, we can do that, sure. You need the...
Give me mama.
Oh, you need mama.
Yeah.
And then also, as George gets that ready, so people were talking about the Beyonce shout-out she gave. People were talking about the fact that she swept the three big categories, and people were also talking about how she messed up on the George Michael tribute so badly that she had them start again.
Yeah, we'll hear that e-break at 8:15. But this is when, yeah, after she got... I guess performer of the year or album of the year, and she gave the shout out to Beyonce.
For me, the Lemonade album was just so
Beyonce's
monumental.
Album.
Beyonce, it was so monumental.
Sorry, man. I thought
what
that was. Yeah, she dropped several F bombs last night, including including
shocking.
Here and including when she messed up the George
when she messed
Michael
up the George
thing,
Michael.
Too.
She messed that up and she apologized for cussing there, but then she cusses again.
Dang, I didn't know. Okay, I thought this was cleaned up. I think it's good from now on.
Well,
here.
My question is, how did you get that? I thought that they were on delay where the cuss word wouldn't go out over
yeah,
national television.
I don't know.
She sounds like a classy bird.
Sounds like Eliza Doolittle.
She
needs. All right, let's hang on to the rails and try this a little
bit
more.
Light. And the way that you make me and my friends feel, the way you make my black friends feel, is empowering, and you make them stand up for themselves. And I love you. I always have, and I always will. Grammys, I appreciate it.
So that's what she's taking some grief for by saying.
Hello.
My black friends.
That was weird. Why is she putting
yeah,
it into
I guess
a special
if you
group?
Isolated,
well,
but I think well, she's not
Beyonce
black.
Is a very
she
powerful
is,
black role
yes,
model.
Yes, and I think
think
that I don't think it's that big a deal. But I'm not black, so I mean, maybe some people took offense to it. I certainly don't. She poured out her heart to mm-hmm. Beyonce and was telling her she loves her and how great her record was and. I don't know. I don't,
it's so hard to thread the needle though,
yeah,
these
yeah,
days
it is.
Because it seems to keep getting smaller and smaller, that hole you have to make it through to make sure you say the exact right thing.
Yeah.
And for some reason, we don't give a lot of people, we're not very charitable, and we don't have a lot of goodwill towards people when they're trying to say the right thing. We're now post-intention. I don't care if she meant well. What she said was tone-deaf, man, and we're going to hold her to it. So, expect
That's
Adele
terrible.
To be raked over the coals.
Well, I think she already has been, yeah.
Well, just, yeah.
Hello.
Okay, so at 8:15 today, we're going to do our extended
yes.
Grammy segment.
Yes.
Boy, are we.
Oh, okay. Do we have a reply, by the way?
Nope. No.
Okay, good. So another bit of entertainment that I consumed this weekend, I watched all 6 hours of Lonesome Dove. And
huh.
This was prompted by our recent visit with the Heritage Auction guys who came in studio and brought up those items. And I had seen a news story that Heritage Auction is selling off Larry McMurtry's The Two Typewriters that he wrote Lonesome Dove on, the book.
Can I take a quick time out here?
Yeah.
Junior on Carpool Karaoke.
Oh, don't you dare, George.
In this state, do we tend to overrate Lonesome Dove just a little
asking?
Bit? I mean, what's the difference between that and how
okay,
the West was won or
what
any
you
other
just
Western?
Said, what you just said
yeah?
is the equivalent of a man going into St. Peter's Basilica in Rome and say, was Jesus... really the son
no,
of God?
I
mean, come
offensive.
On. Don't you guys make too big a deal
offensive.
Out of that deal?
So you just watched it. Does still hold up, and it's the greatest thing ever
oh,
made?
Oh, my gosh, does it hold up.
All right,
I
need to go
cried
back and watch it.
Throughout the 6 hours of that miniseries. I mean, I was crying like at inappropriate times, even because I knew the story.
So
what
the
was
guy
coming
jumps
up
on a horse. And
yeah, like
that made you cry.
Jumping on that horse gonna be the last time he jumps on that horse, too.
So I've never seen it. It's about a dove who's all by itself.
Oh, you've never seen?
Really?
And then he cries, and that's why Prince
See,
wrote
this
the
is,
song.
This is spoken like a true Oklahoman right here. He's never seen Lonesome
it's
Dove.
It's been a long time since I've seen it, and I'm somewhat amazed by how it means so much to people.
See, you think,
like, really?
You
yeah,
think
good,
Lonesome Dove is the Elvis of Texas?
That we need to get over it?
That
no, I don't
to get
I
over
say that because it's great.
Lonesome
it is
Dove
great.
Is the Elvis of Texas.
Yeah, because I've said that Americans
that
need to get over Elvis. But
are
no,
you saying that Texans need to get over Lonesome Dove?
No, I won't say that because it goes cross genders too. I mean, the women love it too.
Well,
it's not just a guy thing.
I posed this on Twitter after I watched it because I know that in the Keith household, all the Keith men, you could bring them to tears. We all watched Lonesome Dove together, and it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. So I know it speaks to men because it's about aging, it's about leading a meaningful life, it's about lost loves, it's about fathers and sons.
Yeah.
It's got all that stuff that's going to hit men's chords, right?
Right.
So I was curious, and I put it out on Twitter, do women, are they as moved by Lonesome Dove as men are? And a lot of women said, yeah, they were, and they were all up in that Lonesome Dove, and they cry every time they watch it, because it's such a male-dominated, you know, show.
Yeah, but it's such a great story, though, and it's so well done that, yeah, I think women love it, too.
But they do have, you know, two really stellar women characters in there that that give, I would think, women... It's the relationship between men and women, too, is also explored in there. But boy, was the Old West a harsh place.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. And as bad as it was for men, how horrible it was for women is unbelievable.
I'm going to review a Western that I watched over the weekend tomorrow on the show. And yes, just those were the hardest of times for people in America, the people that went West.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And I can't get over the fact that this was only a century and a half ago. That
it wasn't that long ago.
That
really.
We were that primitive, you know, about how much progress has gone on in the past 150 years, that this society we live in now, if those cowboys came riding through Dallas to see all this and tried to log on to their email, I can't imagine what they would think of today's world.
You think they all smelled?
Well, yeah, yes. Junior, they had some problems, all right?
You think we underrate problems. How awesome the American West is?
Underrate?
I'll stand by it.
I don't know.
No,
that we
not
underrate
around here.
It.
We
you know,
don't.
Larry
no.
McMurtry, who wrote Lonesome Dove, he wrote it to demythologize the Old West, and he wanted people to stop romanticizing the Old West.
And it just made it worse.
And he made it worse, and that always chagrined him that he had, in trying to demythologizing it, that he sat there and made it more romantic for everyone. And now he's got the most classic Western of all time in Lonesome Dove.
Did you see James in it?
Yeah, James was in it.
And oh, he has a little cameo?
He has a couple lines in it. One of them is, no way, I ain't going in there.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I need to go back and watch it.
You do need to watch it. You
Six
got,
hours? Jeez.
And you know, another one of my goals in life, other than meeting Steve Martin, which I did, meeting Harrison Ford, which I have not, and Bill Murray, which I have not, was I wanted to meet all the principals of Lonesome Dove. And so far, I've only met Danny Glover, the late Robert Urich.
Greatness.
Chris Cooper.
Sammy Davis
greatness.
Jr.
Chris Cooper, who was also in American Beauty later on.
Great.
And D.B. Sweeney. And I think those may be the only four. It seems like there's one more, but I still haven't met Robert Duvall. Augustus McCray, Robert Duvall.
Steve Buscemi was in that, too.
Steve Buscemi was in it.
What a
Glenn
cast.
Headley, Angelica Houston.
Diane Lane.
Diane Lane.
He wasn't in it?
Diane Lane is so good in Lonesome Dove. It is unbelievable. Very young Diane Lane, too.
I need to watch this.
Look at this ranch
just
vamp.
Watch
just,
it.
It's nuts.
The feminine micro-movement she has just captivates you.
Mm.
Watch her responses. Lonesome Dove.
I can't wait.
We need to do an experiment
right.
where both you guys watch Lonesome Dove. Greg for the first time.
Let's watch it. Give us 2 weeks. Don't give us like a... I can't...
George
I
for the second
power
time.
Watch it.
It's $10 on Amazon Prime.
Forget
it.
$10?
Yeah.
Just come over to your house and watch it.
Have it on
VHS. Stream it.
I'll bring it.
Don't bring it on VHS.
I think I do too. All right, 6:48 on the ticket.
Monday morning with the Musers. And let's muse in the news with Gordo, brought to us by D&M Leasing and All-Pro Foundation Repair.
Thanks, Miller Man. Well, one day after news broke that North Korea had fired off a ballistic missile, Donald Trump tweeted around the world, quote, "I know Mark Cuban well. He backed me big time, but I wasn't interested in taking all of his calls. He's not smart enough to run for president." Exclamation point.
Addressing the North Korea thing head on.
Yeah.
That's what's important.
That's what he
wanted. You won't even believe it.
That's what he wanted to comment on, Cuban. Now, I would say, okay, it's unfair for people to say, hey, he's tweeting about Cuban when he hasn't tweeted about the North Korean thing. If he got around to tweeting about the North Korea thing, I didn't see where he did. And it is strange that there are a lot of things going on in the world. You know, one person tweeted back to him, "You haven't even commented on the shoot 'em up at that mosque in Canada."
Mm-hmm.
And you're going after Mark Cuban for
Don't
what
get to
reason?
That. He's got to square off with Cuban first.
So this came after Cuban supported Steph Curry for speaking out against Trump. And the backstory here is that Under Armour, which I guess Steph is a big, you know, spokesperson for Under Armour. Mm-hmm. But Under Armour's CEO, Kevin Plank, had said that Trump is a real asset to the U.S. And so Mark Cuban was being interviewed by the San Jose Mercury News, and he said, quote, "I agree with the description if you remove E.T. from asset."
I thought Steph Curry said that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yes, Steph Curry had said that.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry.
Cuban said that?
Yeah, no. This says...
I think Steph Curry said that.
This says the Dallas Mavericks owner told the San Jose Mercury News, "I agree with the description if you need ET."
Maybe they
me.
Both said it.
Steph Curry said it. Cuban agreed with it.
He said he
it.
Agreed with it.
Yeah.
Yes. Curry said it originally. Yeah.
That's strange the way that this story has it wrong, but you guys are right.
All right.
So
you Cuban, are fake news.
Cuban also said, "I'm proud of Steph for standing up for what he believes in. It's a tough situation for CEOs." So he showed some sympathy also there for Kevin Plank. But Cuban, Trump only saw Cuban bagging on him. And so that's why he said that he knows Cuban well and that Cuban backed him big time. But Cuban only turned on him because Trump wouldn't take all of his calls.
I got a lot of problems with that. Cuban didn't back him big time. In the beginning, he kind of did back him.
Yeah.
But I don't know about big time. And how many of Cuban's calls do you think Trump turned down during the campaign?
I bet you there were a few. Trump's busy and so on. Mm-hmm. But still, then Cuban, I mean, then Trump adds he's not smart enough to run for president, exclamation point. So then, of course, Cuban gets into it, and he starts tweeting back, saying, LOL, a link to Trump's tweet. And then Cuban tweeted how soon they forget. And this was this was Trump. He emailed back to Mark, you know, congratulations on something or another. And so Cuban tweets this nice message that he'd got from Trump before. And then Trump handwrote a message. "Mark, wow, saw you on CNN. Nasty. What happened?" This was handwritten and sent to Cuban. And then Cuban emailed back to Trump's people back in 2016. "Nothing happened. Once you got past Cruz, I really hope you would dig into the issues. You have a real chance to win, but to make it work, you have to really dig in on the issues." And then goes on to say, "You sound like you're just winging it. You sound like you just agree with whoever was the last person that talked to you." So he takes Trump to task privately, behind the scenes, mm-hmm. standing up to him. And so Cuban shared that with the public, the actual messages back and forth between them on
Twitter.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought that was interesting.
Do you think that's weird that the Under Armour CEO kind of basically endorsed Trump? Don't big companies tend to stay away from any political endorsement because you're going to alienate half the country no matter which side you choose? And then you're putting in his position, you're putting your athletes who wear your brand mm-hmm. in a weird spot because then they feel like that they're wearing a brand that's associated with pro-Trump, and they may be anti-Trump like Steph Curry.
Right. I think it's just, where's your upside?
There isn't
it's,
one.
Right. No, it's so not pragmatic to do it. So why do it? I mean, I have no, there shouldn't be a law against it, obviously.
Right.
But still, it's, I guess if you just feel so strongly, you have to say something and risk losing business over it. So, you know, Trump's been playing a lot of golf, most notably of late. He played with the Japanese prime minister, Shinzo Abe. That's a weird Japanese name to
me. Who won?
It doesn't say here. But when you go back on Trump's Twitter timeline, he didn't always take such a favorable view on presidents playing golf.
Mm-hmm.
He said, what kind of president doesn't get playing golf after a cruel beheading? That isn't the thing to do. Detached from reality, he is. Why is he talking like Yoda in this tweet? I have no idea. He also said, we pay for Obama's travel so he can fundraise millions so Democrats can run on lies. Then we pay for his golf. Then he said, President Obama has a major meeting in New York City, Ebola outbreak, with people flying in from all over the country, but decided to play golf. Another one. Can you believe with all the problems and difficulties facing the U.S., President Obama spent the day playing golf? Worse than Carter.
You won't even believe it.
So now what's different? The presidency's changed a lot, or...
No, there's nothing different, but that won't stick to him. In 6 hours, nobody will care.
Okay, but Junior, I heard so many of my conservative friends that had such a problem with Obama playing golf.
Yes.
I mean, they were really against. They said that no president should do it.
I have a problem with it.
They admired George W. Bush for his stance on, hey, I'm not going to play golf because we got people dying.
I've been very vocal about that, and I would say the same thing to Trump that I said to Obama. This is a very short timeline for this job.
So
put all your effort into fixing the country, tending to the world's issues. You've got the rest of your life, although for Trump that's pretty short after he's out of office, to play golf.
Dude.
So why would... You know what? I'll give a president one round a year.
Okay. And that's the thing, is I agreed with my conservative friends when they were saying that about Obama. I think it looks bad.
It does.
It's never a good visual to see you out there in the visor and leaning on your putter, and it always will look bad for a president. So now what do they say about Trump? Will they come out in force and demand that he stop playing golf? Or is
stop
it because
asking,
it's our guy?
Stop asking me this every day because you know...
I need to know
you
the
know,
answer to it.
You know how partisan politics works.
I need to know about... Yes, but don't you think that people are more committed to rigorous, thinking and consistency in logic and reasoning?
Never.
I didn't even get out any of my...
The libs who thought it was great that Obama played 10,000 rounds of golf...
Now they have a problem
will
with...
...will now hate that Trump is playing golf.
And, but why? Why don't they just be consistent?
The conservatives that hated Obama playing golf will now love and excuse Trump for playing golf because the president needs to decompress. You know how
so
it works.
Sad.
Oh, Adele dominated the Grammys. We're going to do a big 8:15 segment on the Grammys. But she won for Album of the Year and Record of the Year and Song of the Year.
And dropped a few F-bombs.
Hello. She has a potty mouth.
Several F-bombs. What do you want to do to that mouth, George?
Tell her to watch your language when she's on national TV. That's what I'd do.
Is she from the wrong side of the tracks in London?
Yeah. I think she's an East Ender, isn't she?
Is she?
Yeah. I tell you what, though, man. She has my number. I think she is so gosh darn pretty.
Yeah, I do, too. Plus, she can sing.
I know it. And a girl who can sing. That's an attractive amplifier.
You bet.
Attractiveness amplifier right there if a girl can sing. Remember we did that segment one time, what are girls' attractiveness amplifiers?
Oh, yeah.
And then what are guys? Like, what do girls say? And the guy can be a 4 on the attractive scale, but if he can do X, he jumps up to about a 7 or 8.
Mm-hmm.
What's so great about doing X?
Well, it's underrated. I enjoyed that.
Thank you.
That was funny. And funniness is a big attractiveness amplifier to women, Giorgio.
Really?
Yeah. I think you just got some female attention.
Okay.
They also did an homage to George Michael and one to Prince, the purple one and the gay one. I don't know if those are their
put those labels unofficial. On them like you do.
Anyway, and Adele did the George Michael tribute, but she messed up and started again. Drops an F-bomb, then has to start again. And we may hear that at 8:15, hopefully without the F-bomb. Giorgio played us some shocking audio earlier.
Yeah, I didn't preview it very well.
David Bowie won 4 awards, despite the fact that he didn't really win too much in his lifetime.
Have y'all listened to that last record?
Is it crazy?
No.
No, I've just heard a little bit of it. I need to listen to more of it. What I've heard, I like.
And we had some North Texas wins.
Yep.
Maren Morris, Pentatonix, Tamela Mann. They all won Grammys. Yep. Do you know any of those artists?
Yeah, I know Maren Morris. They're Mid-Cities, Arlington, right?
Yeah, we'll hear some of their fine work.
Kirk Franklin lost with his, for his collaboration with Kanye West in Best Rap Song, but he did win in the Best Gospel Album category.
Yeah, he's so, local. He's a good dude.
A lot of local wins there. And then we get this crazy story from a United Airlines flight.
Oh, this is crazy.
This was going from Austin to, I think, San Fran, was it? I'm not sure. But, so these passengers are on this plane, and the pilot gets to the plane late, and she's in, like, street clothes. She's wearing a ball cap and casual clothes. And she appeared to get into an argument with crew members at the front of the plane. So passengers are watching this, and one of them that was interviewed for the story said, I thought at first she was a first-class passenger complaining, but then she grabbed the mic, and she starts addressing the plane. And she asked the passengers to vote on whether they should have her change into a uniform. So apparently there may have been an argument with the flight crew on the uniform deal. But the passengers said all voted to give her a pass. She could fly in street clothes. And a lot of them thought that her request was endearing at first. They thought, it's kind of cute. You know, she seems sweet, nice. But then she said, sorry I'm late. I'm going through a divorce.
Off.
And passenger's interview for the story said that was the first time when the red flag went way up on So she's standing in front of the cockpit. She keeps talking over the intercom. Her speech, they said, was just veering into a string of non sequiturs. The mood in the cabin turned from cozy to uncomfortable.
Didn't she get political?
Yeah. She pointed out this couple towards the front of the plane. One was black and one was white. And the way she pointed them out was very uncomfortable for people. They think she meant a message of unity, but it was unclear. Then she said, I don't care if you voted for Trump or Clinton. They're both blanks.
Yeah.
And then she started. Then she changed the subject to the plane's takeoff. She said, so I'll stop and we'll fly the airplane. Don't worry, I'm going to let my co-pilot fly it. He's a man.
He's 40.
So then that's when people started getting out of their seats and collecting their bags, and yes, about 50 of them walked off the plane.
I would have done the same thing.
And the flight crew was able to prevail, and they got the pilot off the plane, and she was escorted through the airport by police, them checking and making sure she's doing okay. Sounds like the divorce is hitting her pretty hard there.
Yeah, that's a meltdown.
Would you have gotten up and gotten off the plane?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
The second she brought up her divorce, I would have gotten up and gotten off the plane.
Yes.
Because she is not in the right emotional mindset to fly that thing.
What do you think's behind the, don't worry, I'm going to let my co-pilot fly it, he's a man?
The divorce?
Yeah, clearly something the ex-husband had just said to her that morning really tripped her up. All right, birthdays today. Actress Kim Novak is 84.
The Birds or North by Northwest?
I think The Birds was Tippi Hedren.
Oh, yes, you're right.
It's such a weird name, Tippi Hedren. Peter Tork of the Monkees is 75.
All his right. Mother invented
Boston, the
liquid,
band.
Liquid paper.
Oh.
Or was that Michael Nesbitt?
I thought
maybe it was Michael Nesbitt.
Nesmith?
Nesmith?
I think
Nesmith.
So.
Nesmith. Nesmith?
Yeah.
Nesmith.
And his mother was the one who invented Boston, the band. Made all their own instruments.
All right.
Stockard Channing, 73. always had a crush on her.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I
that's
know.
Weird.
It's weird, isn't it? I know.
God, that's weird.
She was always really cute to me. She looked like my very first girlfriend in, like, second grade.
You have issues. You know,
I do.
Girlfriends in second grade. Put that on the
that's
shirt.
A throw pillow. Throw pillow alert. Jerry Springer is 73.
You seriously are the only friend I have that says, oh, yeah, she was my girlfriend in second grade.
Well, I mean, as far as girlfriends go back then, we said that...
You dated a lot in elementary school.
I don't know that we went on dates. I just remember putting my arm around her,
whoa,
walking diagonally
grade?
Across her front lawn, and that was the scariest move I think I've ever made in my life to date.
Yeah.
I was so nervous working up the courage to put my arm around her. It was a sweet moment.
Yeah, you were 7.
Peter Gabriel is 67.
Greatness.
Mina Suvari is 38. Mike, Coach K is 70.
Krzyzewski.
That is not Krzyzewski. I'm sorry.
I know.
And Randy Moss turns 40.
All right, that's Muse. 7:33 on the ticket on Monday edition of Gordo's Corner, brought to us by Baker Brothers Plumbing and Air and Load Bearing Wall Pros.
Well, Craig, you had the story earlier of that. Is it called Sloan and Hawk, or is it called Hawk and Sloan, or is it called Sassy?
Hawk and Sloan Sassy Spray.
Okay, this is the spray that I guess you can use in your kid's mouth if they're sassing you or something like that.
Right.
Developed by Candace Romo. Endorsed by the NFL's own Tony Romo. Somehow she was able to secure that endorsement. Father of those two children, Sloan and Hawk. We have breaking news. We got an announcement to make. Hit the Sounder Expo. In studio tomorrow at this very time, we have Candace Crawford Romo.
Wow, the inventor of Sassy Spray.
Come in here, the inventor of Sassy Spray.
Man.
Do you think she'll shoot us with Sassy Spray?
I'm hoping so. She texted me right after we had talked about it, thanking us for mentioning it. And I said, well, come on up here. Let's get you to demonstrate this on Giorgio, where people can see how effective the spray is.
No, and you're said, the one that needs your mouth washed.
She said that she would love to. So she's going to come up here in studio. And all one right. of us, if not all of us, has to take it in the uvula.
All right.
I think it'd be funny.
I don't know if it's a throat spray.
Does it deaden your mouth or anything? Or does
I don't
it,
know.
Do you spray it in the kid's eyes? What do you do with this stuff?
She'll tell us.
I know. I asked her what the primary ingredient in it was. I don't know whether it was like spearmint or eucalyptus or something. She said it was hydrochloric acid.
That sounds safe.
Not yet FDA approved.
No, they're still awaiting approval. Anyway, she'll come up in studio tomorrow. So that'll be good. Put that on your sports calendar.
It's a lateral tease. That's what we call it in this business. Mm-hmm.
Stop pulling back the curtain. What's the difference in a lateral and a horizontal tease?
Lateral is you're teasing for
same
the
time,
same
another
time
day.
The next day or another day.
And then a horizontal,
horizontal
tease.
You're teasing ahead in the same show.
And then what is back selling?
You're talking about something you did and you thought it was pretty good, so you mention it again to make the P1 think
yes.
that they mm-hmm. missed a lot.
What is checkerboarding?
Hey,
what is checkerboarding?
One segment enough. Sports, another enough. Segment lifestyle. Oh, sorry.
We don't have to dictate our playbook to everybody.
What is planned spontaneity? we've had a death.
Uh-oh.
Hit the Sounder Expo. It's the worst death sounder. Vocalist Al Jarreau.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Has passed away.
I'm saddened by that.
At the age of 76.
We're In This Love Together. Great song.
Yes, I loved him.
Yeah, it was his biggest hit in 1981. We're In This Love Together. He was in a Los Angeles hospital on Sunday morning, the day of the Grammys. And he passed away.
Can you spin that. We're In This Love Together, Trey? Or is that beyond your capabilities?
Hey. He's working for our show.
That's him talking. It's not me.
No, it's not.
Al had been hospitalized for the past 2 weeks for exhaustion.
I'm sorry, how old did you say he was?
76.
Mm-hmm. Ain't
and
bad.
and it forced him to cancel all his upcoming tour dates. I'm not talking about the death. I was talking about the exhaustion here at this point. That forced him to cancel all his upcoming tour dates just 3 days ago. That's when he canceled them. And then he passed away. This is so 80s sounding.
I love this song.
Great song. Crank it up.
This is my... It's like a diamond ring. It's a precious thing.
And we never want to lose it. Great voice. It's like
a favorite song that we love to sing. You didn't like this song?
Every time music to make sweet love to. Imagine Giorgio making sweet love on a bearskin rug.
No, don't imagine that.
As the soft filtered
camera.
It's
something much more innocent than like dancing at
kind of
my high school prom to this
song.
There's a band that played this song. Like berries on the line, it gets sweeter on the floor.
Here's
great voice.
Shot that moves off of George's sweaty face and into the fire, in the fireplace right there.
Look.
God. Like Junior and Norm there.
This may have been something that was featured on The Quiet Storm.
Yeah.
Quiet Storm.
This kind of beats me. The song?
Just I don't the production Why? Value with the I don't know if that's like a Roland D50 on the bell patch there.
Sounds fine to me.
It's just like what?
It's all right. Not everyone has soul, Gordon. It's okay.
Well, I don't know that he didn't have a soul. I'm assuming he's going to heaven.
I'm talking about you, sir.
You know, I'm looking at his bio on Wikipedia, and it says his first marriage was to Phyllis Hall. They divorced in 1968.
Way to go, George.
And then it says his second wife was model Susan Player, who was 14 years his junior. Now, why do they put that in there?
Just to show that he improved.
Sorry.
Last year, Al Jarreau performed 50 concerts, including one at the White House.
Wow. Now you're talking.
And what happens after he performs for Obama?
It was last
year.
Well,
folks, he gets sick and he dies.
So sad.
He recorded 20 albums, and he became the only singer to win Grammys in the categories of pop, jazz, and R&B.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. He always seemed kind of like a nice guy.
That was a big crossover.
He never had any problems,
there.
Did he?
Any what?
Any problems, like with the law? Or...
Not that I know
I don't
of.
Think so.
Okay. All right. Al Jarreau.
Yeah, he had a little problem with his health over the weekend, but outside of that.
A little bit more than a little problem with his health.
Outside of that, I think he had a problem-free life.
He died of death, Craig.
In terms of legal.
76 issues. Sounds pretty young.
Yeah, it does.
What is the age when all bets are off? Do you think
what
it's
do you
a...
mean? What do you mean all bets are off?
I mean, like...
You?
You just can't...
What do you think is the age at which, you know what, you've reached there's really no guarantees, you know... Really, no. It's like you can go at any day now.
I think
and
it
you just
has,
need to get used to that fact.
I think it has to be whatever the current life expectancy is, right?
Yeah.
See, so, I think it's still not the life expectancy, but I think the all bets are off time is 70. I mean, once you hit 70, you need to realize that each day is a gift and a treasure, and you're not guaranteed another day.
I think you need to realize that from day one, Gordon, life is short and sweet, and God loves you.
Would you please let us talk about real world instead of immediately going to the moral high ground?
The average life expectancy in these United States is now 78.7.
Okay, but that's a little bit misleading, isn't it?
I don't know.
That means for a baby born today.
In your opinion.
No, I think
I think
is what
right
life expectancy means.
So we should probably lower that for where we are.
Right.
And that's why I think your point's decent that once you hit 70, you're staring death right in the face.
Well, no,
is that what you're saying?
That's a little bit too harsh. Staring death right in the face.
You're in a countdown of some sort.
Whoa, is that
I'm just saying that if you die before the age of 70, I think you died young. I think after 70, during your 70s, like 70 to, I would say 80, I think in there you're like, oh, man, that seems younger all the time. Mm-hmm. After 80, I mean, you deserve to meet the devil. Or,
well,
you
don't deserve
saying.
Either one of those things. You don't deserve to die or meet the devil.
But you know what I'm saying. Like, Mark. Past 80, you have led a long, long life. 70 is the death decade. Your 70s.
Okay.
Before that, it's too young. God cheated you if it happens before that.
Well, the life expectancy for the male is 76, the female 81.
That's always higher.
5 years.
Yes.
I know it. We need to trade away the equal pay for equal work with them to get back some of those years from them.
Mm-hmm. Is there an age you guys would take right now if you could lock it in? A realistic age?
Lock it?
Yeah. Like if I offered you 82 right now, would
absolutely.
You lock that
I'd
in?
Take I'd lock that
I'd
in.
I'd lock it. Lock it!
Wow. Really?
Oh, yeah. I don't have Jer. Lock it!
Stop it.
I'm trying to get the lock it sound
He's doing
effect.
Fine in there. Quit.
Doing
Board
fine.
Board ops hate you for a good reason.
Doing fine. He's napping right now.
Hey,
he pulled that. Fernando,
you know,
let him pull it.
Anyway,
his nap
Beethoven's
mat.
Fifth. Go ahead and play it. What I was saying is,
I think Gordon is right. Cray-tray is never doing fine.
Yes, he is. Look at him.
No,
he's doing
he
great.
He's
it.
Never doing fine.
Cray-tray,
he's often
doing, fine.
Doing the best he can. You know, we're just kidding, right? Cray-tray?
I love Gordon.
They're not.
I love all you guys.
We love you too.
Oh. They're not kidding, Cray-tray. They're jerks. Don't take that from them.
I'm the only one that supports him.
Yeah.
I'm the only one that supports him on a secondary level.
What does that mean?
It's not quite as much support as you give him.
Hey, I didn't say...
But you're the only one.
Right.
Those offensive things you said about him during break, George.
Okay, here's a made-up story. Go ahead.
What
did I say about him?
Could we get a kindergartner in here to run the board for us for the improvement?
Do you think I would say that about you, Cray-tray?
That's what you said, and then you did the V thing with your mouth.
Okay, yeah, that really sounds like me.
What are you talking about? Uh-huh. And you gave me double birds. Anyway, Al Jarreau dead at the age of 76. Yeah, and
would you lock in 76?
I would lock in 76,
are
to be quite honest
with me?
You.
I'm hoping for a little longer than 76, but I might lock that in. Good quality of life?
Yeah,
man,
we'll see.
Really and truly, I think I would lock in 76.
Okay, yeah, let's say good quality.
Yeah, most didn't think you'd make 30, so that's that sounds like pretty good for
don't
you.
Don't say that to Cray-tray. He's doing the best he can.
I'm talking to you, Gordon.
Yeah, I would take 76. I don't think Junior would. Because Junior's done all this stuff
to
his body. He's done a lot of stuff to his body to try to make his body live long.
I got my eyes on 120.
You'll never make it.
No.
Plus, your pops is
do,
older.
You
your pops
me,
is in his 80s, right?
Listen, he's 84.
If you live
it's
to
pretty good.
If you make 100, mm-hmm. Do you promise me you'll stick the tee in the ground and try to shoot 100?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll try.
George, you'll be in the ground 30 years at that point.
I know,
you,
but I'll be looking down with Yoda and Abraham Lincoln clapping as he's putting out at 18.
George, I can't break 100 now. How am I going to break 100 at 100?
Well, you're going to progress. And, yeah.
Wow. You gave me TB cough on that one, George. Congratulations.
I think it was... Oh, I know. I was talking to Dale Hansen, the Ticket's own Dale Hansen, I think it was his father was 88 or something like that. And I said, you know, that's... I said, that's a good long life. I'd take 88. And he said, yeah, we all say that until we turn 87.
Dale's a wise man.
Dale ain't going to make 87.
Hey.
No, I think he will.
You don't know that.
You think Dale will?
He lives a clean life.
Dale! Are we talking about the same Dale Hansen?
Casual talking Dale as he enters the room. That Dale Hansen?
Bye. Hey, Dale, the doctor says you don't have long. We just came to visit you. That's reduction. All right. So, yeah, what is your minimum? I think my minimum right now, take it age, is 76. that I would lock it. Craig's is going to be like 88. George?
You do well to take 70. Do it. Take it and don't look back.
What do you mean by that?
Don't ever look back.
I'm just saying it's a good deal.
I'd be happy to get to 80. I think after that it's icing on the cake.
That's what I just said. I said after yeah, 80, you won. You've won.
Yeah, but you didn't say it the way I said it.
But what's the low? You wouldn't go below 80. You would just, no. You're saying right now you just take your chances.
As opposed to being able to lock in 78 or 76.
Right.
Or take my chances.
Because you and I both have a history of cancer in our families and that sort of thing. So we got that fear, that genetic fear out there. And you know how that doesn't seem to, no matter how good a care you take of yourself, there's no guarantee.
Mm-hmm. I'll take my chances.
Dang, because he's so arrogant over death.
You know what? Because in the end, I don't care.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll take my chances, and if I lose, who cares?
God, it's depressing to talk to you. All right. Count the red flags quickly in this. This is a local story of local interest. Gay?
One.
Now, hey. Whoa, wait a second.
What? You asked me to count the red flags.
You're 5 years behind the cultural curve here, sir. Gay?
Two.
That's the same thing. I'm starting again. Gay porn?
Three.
Star?
Four.
With
five
Nazi
six,
tattoos,
seven
arrested
eight
in meth
nine,
raid
ten
that rattled Oquan.
Rattled. Any event that rattles a community, that's a red flag.
Oh my goodness. The guy's name is Timothy Harper. He's 29 years of age.
Yeah, what happened?
What do you mean, what happened?
He's only 29.
He put that throttle down and never really eased off on it.
That is a lot of mileage for 29. According to the World of Wonder report, what the heck is that? Harper works in the gay porn industry using the name Cameron Diggs. A gay porn industry news blog. Did you know we had that, George?
No.
Described Diggs as a white supremacist with a history of drug use and Nazi-era tattoos that have led to at least one gay porn studio pulling his content from their site. I don't know if that's a euphemism or whether they
thanks, Hitler.
Are actually literal on that. Apparently he has iron crosses on his chest and the SS bolts on his hips.
Oh,
wow.
Why are they on his hips? So, yeah, after he was arrested.
Cameron Diggs.
Stop making
it does sound
him
like
checking
a,
into
yeah,
a,
it does sound
NBA
like an
game.
NBA name, doesn't it?
Within hours of his arrest, the porn studio Cocky Boys pulled his content from their site. And the Cocky Boys director and CEO, Jake Jackson, told Vice that Diggs's views do not represent the basic values of mutual respect and acceptance that is the mission of Cocky Boys.
Nazi comedy.
So 29 years ago when Mr. and Mrs. Diggs brought home their bundle of joy.
No, that is his gay porn name.
When they brought home their bundle of joy.
They didn't give him his gay porn name at birth.
They were talking to each other about how he's going to grow up to be an astronaut or president.
He grew up to be an astronaut.
All right.
Did they ever envision gay porn, meth, and Nazi tattoos? Are they proud this morning?
No, Craig. They're not. No. Is any parent proud of a kid's arrest if it's not, as long as it's not for civil disobedience or something like that?
Right.
If it's for Nazi meth, you're never proud.
No.
So,
all right, well, that's a feel-good story. Thanks.
That's a short story. I want to tell you, Candace Crawford Romo tomorrow in studio.
That is a lateral tease.
Thank you.
All right, 9:34 on the ticket. That's